She'll be right back. It's only stage fright. Are you here? So back in 1945, the first hardbacked science fiction book was released. It was written by a guy called A. Van Vogt. And A. Van Vogt had this idea. What he called it, it was called Null A. And it was non-Aristotelian intelligence. And he blamed Aristotelian intelligence on hierarchy, on racism, on sexism, on war, on cruelty. And he said that as a human race, it was damaging to our collective mental health that we carried on behaving like this. So he proposed this non-Aristotelian intelligence. So there's a bit about that in here. But there's also something else that was kind of like bugging me at the time I wrote this. So I kind of mashed it up. And Magnus is going to help me. So, you right?
A chart told us.
I'm sorry. The map is not the territory. The word is not the thing it represents. Our sensations are not reality, but an abstraction of reality. Don't you love to kiss the Blarney Stone? Don't you hate to pay? Why you gotta pay? Anyway, it's a national monument. The laws of people will never be just until they are sane. Fear is a reaction of the living organism, not to threat but to the perception of threat. Don't you like to go to concerts at Slane Castle? All the lovely countryside all around is private land. Analyzing the universe and its simple binary opposites, while necessary at limited value. The function of a tool can be inferred by its design. Think I go to Lismore Castle, I take my fishing rods. But no fishing on the Blackwater River, all the way to y'all. No two objects in the universe, no two events are identical. One or two objects in a class of objects is an individual. Thinking about Irish castles owned by English lords. What happened in the War of Independence? What happened in that war? Hang on, I have to turn my page over.
This improv land.
Multivariable logic more accurately reflects the complexity of the universe. Such logic is called non-Aristotelian or null A. It's a rejection of hierarchy, a rejection of racism, a rejection of sexism, a rejection of war. of all the things that in light in society she'd be striving for.
Can we do the musical interlude? Well, is Carrie's ready to go? How are you? Bridget, oh, do you want to do that? Okay. Just the little thing I was thinking of is in the middle of all the cynicism and the jaded pallet roofs that we're all sitting on, I just said I'd remember my childhood, because the night of that riot, to try to get myself to wind down, I started remembering my mother and father around the table. It's just such a happy moment, you know. They worked 364 days a year, and they ran plenty of businesses, but they locked the door on a Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and they, 'twas their night of delight. And we'd all be, everyone was back from everywhere, stuffed around the table, and there'd be the smell of the scent of the Thompson's mince pies in the range, and there'd be a saucer of Hennessy brandy punch ready for firing the plum duff, and there'd be a fine big pot of ham, and to be slurping and bubbling away with a big flagon of cider inside it and a bodale of Guinness and plenty spice. And she'd always do this, she's so cute. She'd reach for his hand and she'd catch a hold of it and she'd go, mmm, in front of all of us. And he'd go, ah, ooh, la la, she's done mad about pas de la. And we'd all love that. So this is for the innocent times. Ooh, la 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 la, she's done mad about pas de la. So this is just for the nativity song, to make you all real pure and innocent for a moment. Okay. In a stable in a far off eastern land, he tries to shelter her from desert wind. No welcome for the maiden child she's bearing, just cattle breathing close to warm the air for him. What kind of a world for our little one? Maybe a place where someone now will just hunt him down. A king who took each other mother's firstborn son. What a price, what a sacrifice for the son of man. And the wise ones lay their treasures at his feet. They had followed the heralded comet from the east. And Melchior and Caspar, Balthazar, had foretold this boy child's coming from the stars. What a journey to be placed upon this brave young girl. Way too soon for her, she's too tender and too vulnerable. With this child and her man, they called the carpenter, kept their baby safe in Egypt until their safe return. And now through starry skies, to a moonlit hill, to the shepherds and the lambs an angel calls. Glory on eggshells says shalom al salam. Shwaya shwaya habibi. Peace on earth to all true men of goodwill. Peace on earth to all true men of goodwill. No wind. Ooh.
Yeah. Before we go on to the whatever ensemble is about to come on here, we have to just get to someone online who's kind of urgent because they have to move. So could we please have Pam Campbell?
Thank you. I appreciate this. I'm going to be listening to y'all without my video on after this because I'm in a 3-day push to get out of a house. But here is my poem for tonight. Oh, first of all, I want to do a shout out to Paul Casey. This poem was birthed and worked in his creative writing class he does at UCC. Blood rooted. My marriage gasped its last breath in the dust. Its decades-long withered roots anchored no more. I am newborn with second chance. Sorry? Can y'all not hear me?
You can ignore that.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm going to start over. Okay. Blood-rooted. My marriage gasped its last breath in the dust. Its decades-long withered roots anchored no more. I am newborn with second chance, sea-legged on unsteady ground.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Pam. We're just going to have to ask someone to stop with the...
Okay.
All right. No worries. Okay, Pam. Sorry about that.
No worries. Tell me when you want me to go.
You can start again. Okay.
Apologies. Thank you. No worries. Okay. Blood-rooted. My marriage gasped its last breath in the dust, its decades-long withered roots anchored no more. I am newborn with second chance, sea-legged on unsteady ground. Did my mother wear pearls the day she left my father and me? She swells and ebbs and manufactured unsteady memory until she too is lost in the dust. Once the smell of a common soap swelled me back to her long, slender fingers, soaping pearled water drops on her skin. Would she root for me, newborn, or not? She did not soothe the cramps of first bleed swelling my 11-year-old frame and did not mollify the newborn fundamentalism Eve's sin rooted as mine. My nipples were flat and hard pearls against my chest when she, booze unsteady, put me down in the woods and left me in the dust of her despair. When my newborn suckled my breast, warm against my skin, she pearled joy and wonder. A longing swelled for my mother. But she bitter dusted her invention of the past into the root of unforgiving demand. I fetal curled, steady wailed my grief alone. When cancer bled its calling card, I thought of my mother with my cancer-taking kin, all of us body unsteady, with a broken tumor-fighting pearl. My mother is dead 18 years, dust to dust claimed, in a silence I cannot break. In newborn shock at her gift I could not refuse, I howled, swell after swell after swell. I color my breast in cave drawings, 16 tattooed pearls, fairy dusted purple. A dancing white-blue fire swells steady, amber feathers rising, blood-rooted.
I'm so glad we got to hear that nice and clearly. It was beautiful, really, really was outstanding. Okay, so up next, can we have, did you want to do something? Catherine Ronan and, what's your, and Mags, okay. All right, on we go, on y va.
So Mags has put music to my poem, Bridget.
Thanks for Catherine.
Fantastic music, I might add.
Okay, so it's in pretty the same key, so we're flying it. In honour to put Catherine's words to music, is the second poem that as soon as I read it, I sang it as soon as I read it. And the other one is the one she wrote about Matthew. Her words are very, very, they really strike a chord with me. And they're deeply enjoyable. Cupped flame of sunbeams and snow, cosmic flower of renewal, cosmic power of renewal. Sap of oak tree rises to kiss your fingers, spring tides bathe your feet. Your sketched moon and fractured sun, the first flower of spring in a druid's face, born between two thresholds, you hold the hand of our labors, our lady of the gale, you tied magic ribbons and rags to your holy trees, sing songs over ancient rivers, protector of poets, smiths, and healers, we kneel beneath your mantle of stars. Bridget carried Fiona to Bethlehem. You inhale the dark, exhale the
Rigid. Cupped flame of sunbeams and snow, cosmic power of renewal. Oak sap rises to kiss your fingers, spring tides bathe your feet. Your sketched moon, fractured sun, first flower of spring in a druid's fist, born between two thresholds, you hold the hand of all labors. Mary of the gale, we tie magic ribbons and rags to your holy wish trees, sing songs over ancient rivers, protector of poets, smiths, healers, we kneel before your mantle of stars. Bridget carried from Iona to Bethlehem. You inhale the dark, exhale the light.
Thanks.
Lovely stuff. Catherine Nolan and Mags, thank you. Okay, up next we have Benjamin Burns, please.
I love out of tune pianos. They're great because, well, they're great for improvising on because you never know what note you're going to hit. And in September, I went to Electro Picnic with Strive Theatre and McBokra, and on the Sunday, I was out with Brendan listening to some bluegrass. It was kind of, all music happens at once in Electric Picnic, so everything's like coming at you from all directions. So while you're listening to one thing, you get like some techno here and some choir from over there, and it's all like happening at once. Anyway, after the bluegrass, we indulged in a little bit of acid, and then we found this piano that was just this old piano, and started like going at it, and it was great crack. And then while we were as we were playing, this bunch of lads in GAA shirts came up, and they were kind of getting into it and dancing. And then we finished, they were like, Jesus, at first I thought it was just shite, like nonsense, but then I realized you were going somewhere. And one guy asked us what level of piano it was. Then I wrote this little poem. So this is bang out of tune, Electric Picnic 2023 with Brendan Duffin. After a quarter tab of acid, unhinged garble of bluegrass and techno, our four hands make light work of this microtonal piano. Bust open with pummeling fists, the commonest of senses, begging the question, what level is this? Constantine, it would be nice if you listened to people instead of like interrupting and talking over things.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard that. Okay, so up next, please, can we have Patricia Walsh?
It's Continuing the Music Thread by Benjamin, but this is called Blighted by Song. Know by harmony, picking through works and days, seeking notice over the course of a day. The fresh paint on the counter counts the foliage. Food without dough is adventure scathed. Finishing coffee slowly, leaving the station. Looking out onto the street, gaping at live stories, sauntering back to small milk and original. Nothing to blow the mind, if ever at all. Calmly seated next to technological endeavor. Criminal desire extenuated from the fort. A small community or continuity over there. An acolyte to abuse. Not advertising any scripts or underhand classes. Watching candles diminishing over an evening. Observing eyeball to eyeball and overt type. Loved at a distance, it will stay that way. Prospective rejection a cause not to celebrate. Reverting to type, a student worth desecrating. The corner curb betrays its cello types. Ripping to fashionistas, covering losses. Surfer to the poor, handwriting believable. Lost, being sorry, bit indifferent, but have. Feeding on assets, being troublesome again. Ordering nutrition, turning on perpetuity. Not being the type to condescend on others. A purpose full of familiar, like for like. A sisterly jibe embarrasses the venue forever. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to pivot online, and we have Jeff Cottrell, please.
Thank you. So I don't remember if I've done this one here before. So if I have, congratulations, you're hearing it a second time. So this is a poem in which I have decided to take a proto-feminist approach to the Sistina format while examining the male gaze as depicted in the independent Palestinian cinema of the early 1970s, as seen through a prism of Bakhtinian dialogism and post-structural Marxist theory with respect. No, I'm just having it. This is about slugs. Baby slugs. Baby slugs crawling through the soil and dirt, searching for leaves and grass to feed on. Baby slugs hatching from their tiny eggs, poking out through the layers of debris. Baby slugs slithering over the moist gray rocks. Baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs. Baby slugs looking up at the dimming sky, seeing filthy images in the cloud patterns. Baby slugs marching through the park at noon, striking fancy poses for the tourists' cameras. Baby slugs making inappropriate passes at your significant other. Baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs. Baby slugs running around like savage maniacs, knocking over your grandfather's antiques. Baby slugs hunching over your study desk, finding new loopholes in your tax documents. Baby slugs wondering if a Motorhead reunion could work without Lemmy. Baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs. Baby slugs looking over the group bar tab, debating if the server deserves a 10% tip. Baby slugs talking too loud at the movies, kicking the back of your seat during the big reveal. Baby slugs screaming rude words at your child's kindergarten teacher. Baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs. Baby slugs planning a violent revolution, sparing only the people with the cleanest socks. Baby slugs plotting world domination, using an egg beater, a rooster, and five Twinkies. Baby slugs naming the galaxies after their favorite Belgian wrestlers. Baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs, baby slugs. Thank you. That was called Baby Slugs, in case you didn't figure it out.
Okay, so up next, we're back in the room again, and we're going to have Mark. Will we have a minute? Will we have a minute while this is? All right. Yeah, we'll just go ahead. So up next, we're going to have Martin DeLay. Where's Martin? Oh, yeah, here he is. Big round of applause. Okay, Bula Bus, we're still here.
Hi, folks. This is one I hope is dear to all your hearts. It's called O'Vale. There exists a place in Cork that oozes charm and grace. When full to the brim, it swells within and becomes a magical place. They come from far and wide, armed to the teeth with pride, to be able to relay their stories and find their poetic stride. Come one, come all to Paul's hallowed hall and vent your thoughts within. You'll be allowed to lift that cloud that seemed to follow you in. Sorry. Sorry. Suddenly you'll be released from the hassle of the city, transported to another view of an eclectic few whose charm in you will win. The MC warmly welcomes you and makes you feel at home, and all the while you're mulling over your own special poem. First up, the five-word challenge will let those juices flow, but with 15 minutes on the clock, it'll test the best on show. A myriad of views exist and often will collide. But no offense is taken as we sit there side by side. Then the special guests arrive and take us to places we've never been, through nooks and crannies we've never seen, feeding our imaginations, enchanting us with their observations. Some nights they almost keep us in suspended animation. So, sorry, I'll do this. So spread the word of this wonderful world and bring more people in. Replenish this lock. We need more stock and future worlds to win. Sorry.
Thanks a million, Martin. Up next, can we please have Dean Brown?
Hello. I don't know if we've lost Don or not, but it was great to hear him read. He read for us when we were students about 10 years ago in UCC. It was great then, great tonight. I'm reading a poem, and I hate to be a person with a poem with a note in front of it, but I think this kind of covers the introduction of it. Don't worry, it's not too long. So the poem is called To Felicite. Felicite was a stray Parisian cat selected by scientists for the French space program. Known as C-341, she survived the proposed suborbital mission, and on 18th of October 1963 became the only cat that has gone to space. 2 months later, she was euthanized so that an autopsy could be performed and her brain studied. The scientists later concluded that they had learned nothing of any use from this. Just desperate. It's great to hear that, Phil. Thank you. To Felicite. The French did you dirty, Felicite. Scooped you up from the scrappy, unneutered boulevards where you'd spat at a cabal of horny toms, or sullied the white socks of your luscious, flea-ridden tucks, lapping with relish rancid leftovers in the back streets of bistros, letting the busboy scratch you behind the ear, or pinning, for fun, a butterfly under your paw, with the moon at the correct distance. An arrogant purpose attended your capture, not even your potent nose, your vigilant instinct for danger could have divined. Even now, I can just see your distressed shedding and the lit black of your eyes, as those moon men handle you dispassionately as a specimen upon which to experiment, implanting their electrodes, graphing your impulses. Oh, fuck them, Felicite. C-341 is no name, and Felix misgendered you, love, and aboard the Veronique AG-1 rocket ship as the payload disarticulates, parachute or no, is no place for a cat. One like you, particularly lovely, particularly liable to be let filch a bit of the Gruyere, or a bristle with need for affection or feeding to step blithely on the heads of sleepers, to nudge them awake. What can I say, Felicite? The moon is an ossuary and its valentines have chilly ways. I'm glad those Frenchmen learned sweet fuck all when they studied your brain, Felicite. Could dream only you for a moment in space, weightless, and what you saw took with you. So.
My heart is broken for Felicite. It's so sad. Lovely story. Well, lovely poem. Okay, so actually, just to let you know, in case anyone's zipping off early, we're going to have a little soiree over in Maine's, some food, some drinks. So do stick around and know that that's ahead. But we're only halfway through the open mic now. We're going to go to Matt Mooney.
Yeah. This my poem for this time of the night might be too good for your dreams, but it's called Screams. Very short. So don't blink. I hear their sudden screams from faraway Shan Yunus, as if their voices carry here over oceans, hills, and fields. Some nights, out of the blue, the bloody children come. These innocents out of Gaza tap upon my window panes.
Thank you, Matt. Okay, back into the room. Next up, can we please have Karen Casey?
The children sit in the shed, 3 days in midwinter cold. Silky pups squint in the dark. Hooray, greets Hazel Gemstones. The woman wakes weeks in the garden, attends an orange blossoming rose. They drink in the air, young daughters, slits of light unravel cat's eyes. The witch squats in the foxgloves. It has taken her centuries to get here. She drinks in the world with her iris wide open, expecting nothing.
Thanks, Karen. And up next, can we please have Seamus Harrington?
Thanks, Jim. Phone trouble again. And computer trouble again. So, resorting to paper. Yeah. The only good thing, I do know when I reach the end of this. And apologies, at the winter warmer, my computer crashed just at the end, just before Philip. So, sorry, Philip. It was all caused by free downloads. What they've done, free downloads. They've altered my application, activated my archives, booted my browser, buried my broadband, bookmarked my bits, connected my console, captured my cartridge, clicked on my cookies, commandeered my cursor, dropped down my devices, delved in my downloads, documented my data, dragged out my driver, displayed my desktop, erased my errata, encrypted my emails, fancied my favorites, fumbled my floppy. What? Fragmented my fonts, firewalled my folders, gorged on my gigabytes, grouped up my game ports, hijacked my hardware, hacked at my hyperlink, hung out my homepage, hosted my hard drive, inserted my icon, interrupted my intranet, jellied my Java, jumpered my jack plug, keystroked my kernel, kneaded my knickknacks, lobbed on my laptop, labeled my language, massaged my poor mouse, merged with my modem, minimized my monitor, muddled my memory, memorized my moniker, negated my network, networked my nonsense, opened my outputs, outsourced my options, plagiarized my progress, my process, programmed my printer, punctured my pop-ups, partitioned my password, queried my QWERTY, questioned my query, quoted my quandary, raided my right-click, recycled my registry, selected my software, sampled my startup, serviced my smart drive, scheduled my scanner, sentenced my shortcuts, trespassed my trackball, trojaned my toolbar, uncovered my uploads, underlined my undo, violated my version, vetoed my vectors, vented my volumes, wormed in my window, winkled my wizard, x-rated my excerpts, yawned at my yarns, zeroed my zip drive. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Seamus. Okay, next, can we please have Antonio? How do you say your surname? Antonio Di Mare. Like a seat.
Yes. Thank you, Jim. And before starting, I want to thank you, Paul, for this amazing year. Since this is the last appointment for 2023 before the new year, and I want to say publicly thank you for providing us this amazing space. It's important, and also for delivering this beautiful, amazing winter warmer. So well done to you. This is precious. It's precious and giving us space for the words. It's really special. So thanks very much. My poem is inspired by the seagulls in the Dublin airport. I've started flying a lot now from Dublin. It's I find unique the fact that in Dublin airport, possibly it's the only airport where you can truly hear seagulls, and it's pretty unique as experience. The seagulls at Dublin Airport. Feeling dispossessed, the mind has been compressed. Turn on the light. What time is it, your flight? The seagulls in Dublin Airport give the warmest welcome. We shall overcome. The glory is pointing towards northwest, like the most beautiful penalty scored by George Best. Flying over the Aran Islands and Inishmore, like the pints of Guinness made of more. Nothing compares to you. According to the latest news in Gaza, survivors to the bombs don't have anything to eat. How about you? Green flesh burned in the fire as the songs of Johnny Cash. Invisible air, territory open air. Clouds are witnesses, sometimes kisses. Of the blue imaginary, closing the eyes and painting the scenery. Thank you. Merry Christmas to all. Thanks.
Up next, can we please have Alexandra Toome?
So back when I wrote this poem, I was feeling like very anxious and stressed about like college and like finding placement and things like that. And the idea for this poem, like some bits of the ideas for this poem and the name of this poem came from a specific scene from my favorite series, which is called Teen Wolf. And in this scene, the mother is talking to the son because the son recently lost his first love, so his ex-girlfriend. And she was the one that kind of calmed her down when like he was feeling very stressed and, you know, like feeling very down about himself. And now he kind of lost that like help. So then the mother says to the son, find your own anchor. So that kind of stayed with me, that sentence. So my poem is called Anchor. I feel so trapped. Where do I go? Where can I go? Someone please help me. Tell me. Just tell me, where's my escape? I need it now. I feel like I'm in a cave. Where's the exit? I see no light here. The darkness has always been my friend. It has always soothed me, except for now, at this moment. The darkness is no friend of mine, but my enemy. My mind is like a jungle, full of the roars and screams of the wilderness. I need it to shut up. I crave silence and I crave peace. I want my mind to feel numb, but the wilderness speaks, even in the darkness. Its whispers feeding my growing anxiety, a faceless shadow, following me wherever I go. Leave me alone, please, just leave me. I need an anchor, something that pulls me back to reality, to forget about the past and the threats of the future. After years of searching, I have failed to find my anchor, until recently. My anchor is love, the love of a dark angel who walked into my life and said, I am here. A guardian angel who walked me through the dark cave. His pure heart shined a light onto my dark path. I could see again. I could feel again. My anchor saved me, but who will save him? I will, for I am his anchor and he is mine. Thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks so much, Alexandra. Okay, up next we have James O'Driscoll, who is first time reading, by the way. Big round of applause.
So this is terrifying. Yes, my first time reading for anyone. So, yeah, okay. So this is called My Blue Jay. Sometimes my birdcage rattles as the blue jay sings the songs of all its battles, ending with the flap of its wings. It marches around its cage, commanding strict respect with its piercing song that manages to project. At night the bird haunts me. It chirps, its chirp heard from the furthest corner. My temple quiet fails, for my bird has its own choir. I bought a cat on Wednesday, hoping it would save me. But I found it died Sunday, because I shop cheaply. As I try to shut this bird up, I find my attempts run thin. Quick, fast fails without backup, attempts that could never win. An old cat, a busted gun, a holy net and prayer. A sweet dog, too much fun, the power of my stare. My blue jay still haunts me, its music of repetitive pain. Yet I know it truly loves me, and it wants me to stay sane. Thank you.
Great, thanks, James. Okay, maintenant, je vous présente Cédric Picante.
If I ever forget I'm French, I will call you. This one is actually inspired by 10 years, actually almost 11 years in Cork and almost as much in Auvergne. So it's very much inspired by the experience that Po has allowed us to have here, and I hope it continues as long as possible. So I guess you're on duty as long as you can. It's called Ikebana, as per the Japanese flower arrangement. Ikebana. Those words were grown in their field, slowly absorbing the sons of community, the rains of stories, the storm of histories. Admire the blossoms from salty downpour, the radiances of joy piercing through the blankets of sorrows. Watch the heads colored by the riches hidden in the bedrock of sweat and blood, sweetened by the hope, aired by life, and its countless waking dreams. chromatic patterns tell tales in nuances borrowed from semantics. They will feed back the soil as their petals can no longer sustain the breezes of time. Let me sit under the contextual canopy. I will compose for you my best arrangement yet. Buttercup bared out, with astute lips that I cut in stanzas, standing out in a bouquet. I will leave this here for you to see, hopeful that you may find elegance in its simplicity.
Thank you, Cedric. Okay, next up, can we have Sue Blue? Thanks very much.
So I dug out a piece that I wrote at O'Vale 2 years ago. It was a hybrid O'Vale, and it was a 5-word challenge. The 5 words were devil, carry, love, wrinkles, and Christmas. So I called it Beyond the Lights of Christmas, or Fuck the Devil. The devil has carried his cross through yet another year, burdened by the love we share, a shield against his hell. Yet he has put his hoof down right beside our hearth and stomped to break our hearts as he ripped our dearest out. Thus, life itself has deepened the wrinkles in our faces and sharpened the periwrinkles of our fractal ears to the truth of itself. Death is the journey beyond the lights of Christmas, the new day dawning in the darkness of every year. It takes our bonds into the bliss of the great divine because of the love we share.
Thank you, Sue. Okay, we're going to jump online real quick. Can we please have Massimo?
Can you see me and hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Who is an artist, an artist, an artist? I am an artist, an artist, an artist. This world's full of artworks and art forms and artists. Could you be an artist? Are you too an artist? If you have a mind and a body to start with, then you have what anyone needs to make art with. But not making art does not mean you are artless, because life is an art, so all living are artists. I used to have a pencil and a paintbrush, but these days I don't pencil, I don't paint much. Like a keyboard with keys, I don't play much. The change is in me, but the keys have the same touch. Everyone has something that they made once, a little piece of themselves that they've saved us. We're so different, but then sometimes a way comes where we show each other different ways we're the same ones. All are born with a gift none can hand them, a passion, a talent that no one can grant them. Whether we scatter these seeds or we plant them, fill them with love so that love can expand them. And if you can dance, do a dance then. If you can't dance, groove where you stand then. If he can sing and she can play, they can jam then. If we can be the audience and help understand them. If you can help do something beautiful, then it's not only fun, but it's dutiful. You may be visual, theatrical, or musical, or maybe just hilarious. All gifts are usable. Your gift may be unusual, but if it suited well to others, then it's suitable. If it doesn't suit others, thank them that they're truthful. But if it moves even one person, it is useful. So create. But first make it good that is better than just great. An artist may not feed you better than the bread you ate, but gave you instead bread they made from your empty plate. It's not the magic, but the love that should resonate, that we would do this work to bring you joy in your present state. An artist's wish to give light can be a heavy weight, but maybe we became artists because we love to elevate. Or maybe I just do this for my sanity, just to dance before there's anyone to dance with me. Being sane doesn't mean afraid of fantasy, where I can be who I am, but play with what cannot be. But still I stand where reality can stand with me. Hold hands in dreams, but awake, both my hands are free. An artist is such a deep lover of humanity that even in our solitude, we draw where human hands could be. Because there is always proof of love wherever art is. Because art is only where more than one human heart is. There is always proof of unity wherever art is. Because everyone has loved something made by an artist. So if you have a mind and a body to start with, then you have what anyone needs to make art with. But not making art does not mean you are artless, because life is an art. So all living are artists.
Thanks, Massimo. Okay, next up, can we please have Jason J. Fisher?
I'll go quick, but I just want to say, Massimo, like, your first poem, I want your lyrics. Your second one's amazing. Hit me up, man. That was great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries, man. I love your stuff. Come to Ireland. This is called Art Scars. It's long been observed and all would concur. I've got a way with words, but I got away from words. And I got away with things I'd rather not say with words. When it comes to her and sorry, make sure you say it first. And the distance between us the last 3 years stretches beyond measure. And I could be like, it's all whatever, whatever, whatever. I've never been better. I'm the oh-so-clever, unfettered man of letters who finally got it together. But I could never get it together while we were together. And I think I'll think about that forever, because I've spent forever trying to pick it all apart amidst all the half measures and false starts. And there's not an inch of thin skin left. It's all scars. But every time our eyes met, it was all sparks. And now we're so far apart that lately my safeguard has been to make art, create art, break art, rip apart art with sharp art shards settling into my soft and my hard parts. And how do I start to bring it to a close so I don't continue to miss you? But it's like you've settled into my heart and my bones, speaking through my sinew and tissue. And I suppose I'm just composed of striated muscle, the last of my jangled nerves and whole rolls of adipose. Because I'm approaching 40 years old with so many slivers of silver and only a few gold goals. I tried to read all of your letters, but I had to stop. Know that every letter mattered and not one was for naught. And I've wanted to write you, but maybe you moved on. Maybe you're gone. Maybe my letter would be something you'd hate. Or my letter would arrive 2 tenants too late, 2 tenants Zeus spate. And I try to save every true tenant you gave as I remake and remake and remake. remake and remake. And we all make mistakes, but we get to remake and remake and remake. And I was wrong. I could have gazed upon your face as the sunlight danced across it for all of my days. I could have.
Yes.
Thank you, Jason. Okay, next up, can we have the five-word challenge winner, Mr. Philip Spillane.
Before I read my poems, I want to say a big Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to the family of Vale.
Yeah.
And thank you, Paul. And Jim and Alexandra and our guest poet Don for providing a great way to close 2023 here. Thank you very much. Real thank you from the bottom of my heart. This place is like a family. So let's switch notes. This is a try and work out what this is about. Sorry for the broken bones. Long ago. Here's some gold, oil, value with tears. Pick the best identities, the weighted tombs, lands, flags and colors, songs with forgotten lyrics. Anything can be yours. And what about the others, the other names? Like who was here first? Who was here first? If we crack an egg, it doesn't hold the yolk. If we crack a border, does it fix a war? Sorry about the broken bones, mess of hatred and love. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks very much, Phil. Okay, and our final reader of the night is Rosie O'Regan.
Yeah, it's Christmas. So I have a small angry poem. Insert the red nose. Feminism, a nippleless tit, capitalist whore, Barbie.
How dare you say that about Barbie?
Live if you like.
We're going to fight live. We'll be fighting live in Mainz. Yeah. All right. So that brings us to the end of our Long Valley part. That was the end of our Long Valley part. A huge round of applause once again to our guest poet Don Patterson. It was amazing. To everybody online on Zoom, everybody in the room.